One of the things, you know, is that, you know, it's sometimes you can be few in number. And it's not the number that counts, eh? Because I would rather have one friend that is close than have 50 that are just not so close. Because in the day of trouble, guess what that one friend is going to be? He's going to be next to me, whereas those 50 other people might disappear. Who's lived long enough to understand and to know that there are people that you can have people that you call your friends, but when tough times come, they're nowhere to be seen. But then there are other people, so you may not have a large group of friends, it might be two or three, but you know that whenever something happens in your life, you can count on those people. Those are the people we want to have, you know. And I'm just glad that, so next week, Sunday, is at 10 a.m. is our prayer in the morning. It happens on the first of every Sunday. If you've got any prayer needs, come to that, and we'll pray for you and stand with you in faith that God is going to come through and deliver whatever it is that you're seeking from him. The other thing I'm just going to notify you about is that on Friday night, we had a wonderful time at the Men's Connect group. You know, it was absolutely good. We, you know, there's a few of us. We started off with good food, you know, which I think, so the food was great. And so I encourage you, this happens every fortnight. So not next week Friday, the Friday after that, there's going to be Men's Connect. And we just invite all the men, you know, to come to that. And it's just an opportunity where we share, we get to know one another. And we, you know, Mr. Andrew at the back there normally takes us through a little teaching. And we are there to strengthen one another. Who knows, it's hard out here for men. It's very hard for men, eh? And so we need each other. We've got our wives to have to deal with, you know what I'm saying? You know, so it's very hard for us. But you know what? We need each other. Because guess what we're going to do? There's going to be an encouraging word. There's always an encouraging word. And you've got people that are there to lift you up. So that when you leave that place, you're going to leave encouraged for whatever battles you face. You know that you're not in those battles alone. You're with your brother. So not next week Friday, the Friday after, we'll be meeting at Mr. Robert Cleaver's home. And he does a gracious thing. He opens up his home, and then we all bring, you know, a packet of meat or whatever. And as we bring that, it gets cooked. Somebody cooks it. And then we come in, we eat together, and then we share a scripture, a teaching, and then after that we pray for one another. So I greatly encourage you to come to that. You know, I really enjoyed it. It was very good on Friday night. Wow. It's good to see you guys. It really is to see everybody in church, to gather together. It's a good thing. I look forward to coming every Sunday. And also just to, because I honestly believe as we think through the service during the week, is that you never know when the Lord is going to whisper something that changes your life. So I always want to be there just in case the Lord says something that's going to cause perhaps the hurt that I've been carrying all my life, that God is going to touch me, and all the stuff that I've been carrying just disappears. And we know that God is able to do that. With just one word, he can change your life. So gathering together is such a crucial and important thing. So this morning, we're just bringing the last message in the series of kingdom generosity. We know that God is a generous God. He gives us things. He gives us gifts. And it says, all good gifts come from the one above. So all good things come from the Lord above, and he gave us his son so that we can be back in relationship with him. And so we know that God is a giver, and as kingdom people, we believe that everything that we have, we've been given by the Lord. Now, you might be a young person and you say, well, I don't have much, you know, but the fact that your parents are buying you a pair of shoes, they're putting some Jordans, or they might be whatever shoe you're wearing, you got clothes on your back. That is the Lord. Yes, your parents are the ones who go to work, but your parents are gracious enough to put the money aside so they can buy you some clothing. So that's actually, you know, that's the Lord loving you through your parents. Because if they were bad parents, guess what they would say? We're not buying you any clothes. That one pair of shoes that you have, you're going to wear that until it becomes too small. But because God loves you, he gave you parents that look after you, that provide food for you, that when you open the fridge, things just don't happen. The food just doesn't appear in the fridge. Somebody has to wake up in the morning when they don't feel like going to work, but they still go. And as they go, they come back and they're tired and they cook for you even though they're what? They're tired. So young people, be very grateful for your parents who look after you, who try their level best to help you out. I had good grandparents, you know, and my father was a good guy. We learned kingdom management. We learned that we are to manage the resources that God has given us. You can be given $100 pocket money, $50, $20. So you can't just look at that $20 and say, this is nothing. Manage that. Learn to manage whilst it's still small. Learn to tithe whilst it's still... Imagine getting paid. I recall a time when I used to get paid maybe $10 an hour, and I used to tithe a dollar. Who knows, that was easy to tithe $1. But then all of a sudden you start getting a job that pays you $20 an hour. Now it's $2. Ooh, that's a bit hard. Before I was only tithing a dollar. And then as God continues to bless you, you might now have to start tithing $10. Like, ooh, that's a bit painful. And then as you get older and you get more work and all of that, now you're probably tithing per week, $400, $300. It's a bit hard, eh? But if you learn at the young age, if you learn whilst I still have got a little bit of resources to manage that well, then you'll be able to manage the bigger numbers well. So you start small and then you'll be able. And so as people of God, we are kingdom managers. We manage what we've been given well so that more resources can be added onto us so we can help other people. Who likes helping people? Who gets the phone call from family and say, oh, something has happened, I need such and such? Who gets those phone calls? Can you send, who knows Western Union? World Remit? You know? Nowadays, you actually, if somebody says they're somewhere else and they say, I need some money, you might say, look, I can't get to the bank, so you probably have to wait another month or so. Like, but then they say, no, you can send the money to my mobile phone. So there's no excuse that we cannot hide from giving. But the truth is that if we don't manage what we have, then we're not going to be in a position to give. So we manage, people are kingdom people, are kingdom managers. We manage what we've been given so that more can be added. Who wants to be receive more? So we've got to manage what we have. So we learned that week number one. The second week we learned about, which was last week, we learned about kingdom lessons from the unusually wise. We heard about the ants. The ant stores, it starts to think that, you know what, the ant says, I get $100 a fortnight, and so what I have to do is perhaps I got to tithe, but also what I have to do is to put money aside so I just don't eat the $90. 10% it gives, it brings the tithe. It doesn't say give the tithe, it says bring. There's a difference in giving and bringing. Bring the tithe. So it says bring the tithe, but then it gives us, we're left with the, just say $90 for example. We still, because the ant tells us that winter is coming, so I have to prepare, and it puts money aside so that when winter comes, it has enough to be able to take care of its family. So that means that we are people that budget, we look after our family, we have insurance, We write wills for our family because we know that if we don't do that, disaster will come. We know that the scripture says that a good man, meaning good people, leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that's what we want to be able to do. We don't want our children to suffer. We want our children to be in a position where they can not live the life that we've lived. If we've struggled, do we want that for our children? No. So we want those to be able to leave a legacy for our children's children. So we learned that from the ant and from the other small animals. Today, we're going to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 18. We're going to learn something about a very interesting passage of scripture that talks and it contrasts two women. One woman whose husband died and another woman whose husband was old. They all had some issues. Eh? One had a dead husband, one has an old husband. So it says in it says in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 18, it says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of oil. The only thing she had was a flask of oil, which you have right there. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Remember this, borrow as many empty jars as you have from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. Remember that. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. One day, so this is after that, he says, one day he goes to another town called Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. How do we know it was a wealthy woman? Because it says so in the scriptures, you know. And after that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build. So she was a wealthy woman, it tells us. She didn't say, come into my room. She said, let's build. So she builds a granny flat or a cottage at the top of the house or at the back of the house. Build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. One day, Elisha returned. He came back to that town, and he went up to this upper room to rest. And so he said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. So we know that this was a person of means because it says, can I put in a good word with you, with people who have authority, who can do stuff? He says, don't worry, I got it taken care of. So she didn't have many needs. Later, Elisha says to his servant Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. Everybody say, old man. Poor guy, he's an old man. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway. It's interesting, before he spoke, it's Gehazi who was speaking to her, but this time he was speaking to her directly. He said, next year at this time, Today is the 26th of June. So he's saying this time next year, on the 26th of June, 2023, you'll be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha has said. I've titled this message, the last in the series of Kingdom Generosity, Borrow Not a Few. Borrow Not a Few. It is interesting that at times in life, as we look at this story, we recognize that life happens to all of us. That sometimes, because of perhaps our own bad decisions, we find ourselves in a predicament. We find ourselves in a difficult place. But also there are times where the circumstances, it's not our fault, but just things happen. Life happens to us. Next slide. Life happens. You know, so life just happens to all of us. So we've got one woman whose husband was dead. And we can infer that this husband was a breadwinner. Because when this guy was alive, everything was taken care of in the house. But soon he died, and all of a sudden, life got really bad. Now, slavery awaited her children because now she's got debts. And back in those days, it was if you owed somebody money, it was within their rights to come and say, you know what, you owe me money, you haven't been paying, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take your two kids. So I'm going to take Noctula and I'm going to take Bitsepo. God help them, whoever that, if I owed money to somebody, I'm going to take your two daughters and they're going to be my slaves. They're going to work for me every day. Jimmy, you'd be going if mom owed somebody, if this was back in the day. Carlos, he's at the back somewhere. He would be going. You know, he would be going, you know, and Jimmy's sister would be going as well. There's not much we can do. They're all going to be sold as slaves. Also recognize that being the wife of a prophet gave her certain privileges. Whenever she would walk in the market, people would say, hi, that is so-and-so, that is the prophet's wife. And so everybody would be like, hello, prophet's wife. And so there's the stature, you know, that comes with that. Now the prophet is dead, no more. No more stature. We look at the other town. We look in Shunem, there's a lady. She did not lack anything. She had everything that she wanted. She had wealth. She had means because she was able to build. She just didn't say, look, you can come and my son will sleep in the sitting room and you will sleep in my son's bedroom. No, no, no. She says, look, we are building a house. Is he okay? We're building a house. So we're building a house on top. And so they built the house. So we know that this woman was wealthy. But she lacked the one thing that would bring her joy. She did not have a son. She had money. She said, the guy said, look, can we give in a good word for you? And she says, nah, no need. I got everything I want. My bank account is full. The fridge is full. The pantry has got everything. The car, there's two garages in the car. Plus, we have money for fuel. Even though fuel is now $2 a liter, don't worry. I'm filling it to the brim all the time. And I'm not just using unleaded. In fact, I am using not just the normal unleaded. I'm using premium. We're using premium fuel. So she had everything, but she lacked a son. You need to understand how important it is, even now for a woman, back then even more, to actually have a child. These two women had similar situations. One husband is dead, the other, the husband, was old. We have a dead husband, we have an old husband. And the funny thing is that they both cannot get what they want. One wants to be taken care of, wants provision. The other wants a child. One cannot do anything about it because the husband is dead. The other one, try as she may, the husband is what? Is old. So he cannot give her a child. You have to know that this was an issue because Gehazi is the one who said, she doesn't have a son, but why did he stop? He should have just said, look, all I can tell is that she doesn't have a son. But he goes on to specify her husband is old, indicating that is where the problem is. That the husband is what? Is old. And so I ask, life, has life just ever happened? Whether it's this is a situation, this lady is reaching out, she wants finances. And this other lady, she wants a child. It wasn't your fault, things just happen. You can't seem to catch a break. You've got the bank. You know that you're a slave. You know why sometimes we can say that, you know, when we are, you know, when we've got loans and whatever, we are, you know, when we know that we are a slave, because they tell us when to pay the bill. The bank will tell you that your credit card or your personal loan bill is due on the 18th. You don't pay it, they're going to call you. And things just go left field. You lose your job. Things just happen. And sometimes we can ask ourselves this question, does God see me? Is God really care? Does he care about my situation? Does he care about my family's situation? Is God involved? And I believe that God has a keen interest in our lives. So God, is God involved? Yes, we can move on to the next one. God has a keen interest in our lives. He says in Matthew, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory, because Solomon had a lot of stuff, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. He says, if God so cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So we know that God is interested in your situation. It could be your financial situation. He's interested in that. It could be other things that are not money related. God is interested in your in our lives. You know, the Lord says to Moses, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. So God sees and God hears. And what I want to encourage with us today is that because we know that God sees, we should be encouraged. We shouldn't sort of like think that you are in your fight by yourself. It could be a fight with debt. It could be a fight that there is a promise you want to own a house. You don't want to be a renter anymore. You want to own your house. The Lord sees that. The Lord cares. These two ladies all made, well, in fact, there was a request that was made. So the request was, one lady requested from God and from the man because of her lack and her desire to protect her sons. She did not want her children to go to become slaves. And so she reaches out to the man of God. You know, sometimes when you're backed into the corner, the only thing you can do is to reach out to who? Is to reach out to God. And so she comes to the man of God and says, look, we are in trouble. What do we do? My sons are going to be taken away as slaves. The other lady, the lady in Shunem, the wealthy one who had everything but did not have a child, her generosity made her create space for the man of God. What she didn't realize as she was making space for the man of God is that she was making space for God to intervene in her life, because he had seen what she had been going through. And so her generosity is, look, I'll make a room for this guy, not knowing that by doing that, she's creating a blessing for herself. Both of these women had to exercise faith. One was at rock bottom. She had no choice but to believe, oh God, you got to come through. The Commonwealth Bank is calling. Bank West, Westpac, Latitude Finance, GE Finance, they're calling. So, God, you have to come through for me. The school fees is due. God, you have to come through for me. Lord, there is no more rice. You have to come through for me. And so, oh, Mr. Donovan Days, can I have that bag there, please? I just want something in there. So one thing the prophet says to this lady, he says, go to all the neighbors. So she goes to Betty's house, and she says, oh, I need a jar. And so she goes to Betty's house, and that's the jar she got from Betty. She was given the instruction, go and get as many jars as you can. The words that are used in the NIV were, borrow not a few. So she goes to Betty's house, and then she goes to Philomena's house. She gets another jar from Philomena. She goes to Prudence's house. She goes to Prudence's house. She gets another jar. Now, she could have stopped at Betty's and said, that's it. That's it. But she kept going, because the words that came from the Lord was that borrow not what? Then she goes to, let's pick another lady, Bridget. She goes to Bridget's house, and Bridget is very generous. Bridget gives her two jars. She goes to Bridget's house, she gets two jars. Wow, you know, she's getting more and more jars. And after a while, she keeps going from house to house to house. What is happening is that she's stepping out in faith, because she's listening to the exact words that the prophet told her, that go to your neighbors. He didn't just say, you know, in fact, he got her to be part of what God was going to do in her life, because he asked her the question, what do you have? And she said, I only have this flask of oil, representing what she had. But what the prophet was doing was saying, okay, we're going to take what you have, and we're going to get God to do something with the little that you have. And so we might have a little, but in the hands of God, it can do an absolute whole lot of things. The other lady that was in Shunem, she was coming from a place, so one has got nothing. So it's easy for her to say, I need money, Lord, to pay for the groceries for the children. They like their food, so we need money for groceries. This one, she's got everything that she needs, except that she does not have a child. And this lady is coming, perhaps she's coming from a place where she had believed, but things had not happened for her. I don't know about you. Are there things that you have constantly been bringing to the Lord and nothing has happened? You have believed God for something, and it hasn't happened. What happens when we get to a point where we keep coming to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Yes, you're going to do this for me. I believe. And the thing we're believing God to do, it doesn't come 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. We keep crying out, Lord, I want to own a house. I want to own a house. I don't want to rent anymore because I'm sick and tired of inspections. Who hates inspections? Terrible. You know, absolutely terrible. Except, of course, if you're the landlord, you want to make sure that inspections are done. And so it's easy to lose hope. You look at your situation and you think, Lord, this is not it. I have nothing to my name. My finances are it's just going from check to check each and every week, each and every fortnight, each and every month. When am I going to catch a break, Lord? When am I going to be on top of things? We can infer from this story that this lady had tried many times to be what? To get pregnant. But she couldn't. You have to understand the stigma associated with barrenness. Back in those days, it was harsh. This promised son would answer the longing of her heart. Once you get a child, you know, you're so desirous because now you see yourself as complete. But without a child, there's no, you're not complete. And it removes the stigma of barrenness. Understand, you see, that human beings, let's be very honest with each other. If you are in a family and you get married, what is the one thing they start asking after maybe a month of being married? Are you pregnant? And they keep asking and asking. And if 1 or 2 or 3 years go by, they start to query, what is wrong with you? They don't look at the man. They normally look at the lady and say, there must be something wrong with this individual. And we know that this lady had hoped before, but things hadn't happened for her. You know why we know that? Because when the prophet told her that you are going to, this time next year you'll have a child, she said, no, my Lord. She objected, please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. If we are going to get what it is we want from the Lord, one of the things I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters today is that we have to believe again. So the first lady is following the instructions of the prophet. It's one thing to ask for advice or solutions. It's another thing to actually do what you've been told to do. Somebody comes and says, you need to do this if you want to get this outcome. So yes, you can listen. The question that really matters is, what are you going to do about it? It's the action that tells us whether there is faith in what you heard or not. She then goes to princess's house. She goes to the princess's house. She gets 2 more jars. So she's doing quite well. She goes from princess's house. Then she goes to the next neighbor, Lorraine. She goes to Lorraine's house. Lorraine is a wealthy lady. She has lots of jars, and she gives her 3 jars. So she's following through with what the prophet has said. Oh, she thinks to herself, I'm doing good. She goes from Lorraine's house, and then she goes to a lady named Chipo. Chipo is a Zimbabwean lady, and that's her name, and that name means gift. So she goes to gift house. She gets more and more bottles coming through. So assuming these are jars, remember, this woman could have stopped at Betty's because he kept saying the scripture tells us that the oil stopped when there were no more jars. So that means that if she didn't have a lot of jars, the oil would have stopped maybe at jar number 1, 2, or 3. From there, we're looking for another lady. She goes to Charmaine's house. So she goes to Charmaine's house. She gets 2 more. She gets 2 more jars. Then lastly, she goes to Vissi's house. She goes to Marty's house. Now, Marty happens to be my sister. So she goes to Marty's house. And Marty only gives her 1. And then can I have that basket? Where's that basket? 1 more time. And then she goes to Vissi's house. Now, Vissi is my sister in Zimbabwe. She sells Tupperware, you know, so I just said out there. So this is, she goes to Vissi's house and she gives her a nice, big 1-liter bottle of a jar. She could have stopped at number 1, number 2, or number 3, but she kept on going. And so it says, so the oil ceased. It stopped. the miracle was given according to the measure of her previous faith in borrowing the vessels. So if she just had faith to get three, what was going to happen to the oil? It would have stopped at three. She borrowed enough, so the excess oil was sold and provided money to pay the debt to the creditor and to provide for the future. Now, had we have another table there, had she collected more, more would have been provided. Had she gathered less, less would have been provided. Spurgeon says, if she borrowed few vessels, she would have but little oil. If she borrowed many, they shall all be filled. This is Charles Spurgeon. And she was herself to measure out what she should have. And he says, and I believe that you and I, in the matter of spiritual blessings from God, have more to do with the measurement of our mercies than we think. That means that what we get is dependent on what we think we can get. It's actually limited to that. So if I think my limit is on Betty's jar, even though it's big, that is the limit. He's not going to pour more. He's only going to pour what you believe and what you're believing for. So whatever it is that you're believing for, you have to think that God can do this, because if you think that he can't, well, he won't. She was asked specifically, collect empty vessels. There was a reason, because if the vessels were full, nothing would have been able to go in there. And so as we're finishing this story where it says, borrow not a few, we have to start from where we are. This lady first started off as she was asked, what do you have in your house? You start off from a situation where your situation could be bad, but you have to understand that if you trust the Lord and if you do it his way, he's going to turn things around for you. And I recall a time when I was praying, Lord, I just help me be a good steward, you know, because, you know, tax time is coming. Next week, Thursday, is the end of the year. And tax time is always, it can be a good time and it could be a bad time. It can be a bad time because when you get that payment summary and it tells you that you earned $100 and you were taxed $10 or $20 and you think, I had $80, what did I do with that money? Where has that money gone? And so that tax time can sometimes be a very confronting time because it can actually tell you what you've done with the money that was given to you through your job. And even though finances may not be your issue, there are things that you're asking from the Lord. And I recall a time, and as I was saying, where I was asking God, Lord, I need you to come through for me. And I recall during a time, you know, sitting on the toilet, I'm asking the Lord, help me out. And he said, I just had a whisper, nothing weird, just an impression, open another bank account. Now, this is not profound, you know. This is not, it's just very simple stuff. And so guess what I did? That day, now you can open your accounts online. I went, opened an account, and I made sure that I went to work and I said, look, I would like you to put X amount of dollars from my pay directly into this account. And that's what they were doing, you know, whenever we got paid, they would do that. The bank sent me the card because they like me to spend the money. What I did is that I shredded the card so that now if I needed money, I can't go to the ATM. But then later on, they introduced a system where you can withdraw cardless cash. But anyway, the discipline had now been formed where I just wouldn't go and withdraw the money. My point is this. It's one thing to get advice. It's one thing to hear from the Lord. It's a whole other thing to do something about it. This woman sells. She was told she collected all the oil, and the guy, she goes back to the prophet And remember, the prophet was God's representative. She goes back and says, look, I've sold the oil. What's the next step? He said, go sell the oil, pay your debts, and live on the rest. A specific formula. The question I have for us is that, will we do it God's way? And I'm asking today is that don't settle for less. Noctula, you can get back up on the keys, please. Don't settle for less. It's quite easy to just settle for your life and just say, whatever, you know, I'll deal with this. But don't settle for less. It's that God has something better for both you and I. Yeah. Just like that lady, she had to believe again. We have to get to a point, if we can all stand, where we have to believe again that God is going to come through for us. And so as Noctula plays, that whatever our situation is, it's going to take faith to get us out of that predicament. And whatever it is that you're asking God for, what I would encourage you is, the scripture says, borrow not a few. It did that specifically to let us know that our faith, what we get, is in direct proportion to the level of faith that we have. And so this morning, if we can just turn our eyes to the Lord and forget about who's standing next to you and just think about yourself and think about what it is that you're seeking the Lord for. You could be in a situation, yes, where finances are an issue and you want to look for a way out. One of the things that God does, God uses the medium of work to bless us. He uses the medium of work to bless us. And the funny thing and the most interesting thing is that what he did for this lady was he showed her how he didn't do it for her. She had to do the work. Because what they were basically saying, what he's saying through that is, the next time a situation arose, she wouldn't need to have gone back to the prophet because she would have learned to trust in the Lord herself. She would have learned to have faith to do things. And of course, there was the dignity of it not being a handout. It was just, I've worked for this as well. So I'm involved in my miracle. And so what I would ask this morning, I'm going to pray. And then if you are believing the Lord for anything and you want breakthrough, it doesn't matter who's next to you. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. I want you to come to the front. And we're just going to pray and believe breakthrough is coming for you in whatever situation you're facing. Let's